Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's come
on. Happy Wednesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour space shuttle shuffle. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio Studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Compton to Clemson, Kalamazoo and Waterloo, hey, are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. How are we doing? Very excited about today's show. For obvious reasons, it's the last show before the holiday. Tomorrow and Friday, I will be off. However, Mraz will not. He'll be handling his first ever hosting duties on CBS Sports Radio overnight in for the Amy Lawrence After Hours show. Tomorrow morning, 2 a.m. until 6 a.m., and then Friday morning, Black Friday, 2 a.m. until 6 a.m. Please plan accordingly. But because this is my final show up until Sunday morning football, we've got the goods. We've got the beat. We've got the beat. We've got the second annual DA show Thanksgiving draft.
Itchy nipple chub, bro.
Never before has it been done. We take fantasy football, we take Thanksgiving, and we mash them together. And so the crew here on the show next hour will try to assemble the perfect Thanksgiving spread. And we're adding some things in here, some wild cards into this year's draft pool. It's like the international signing pool. Some faces that are unfamiliar. That's coming up next hour. We've also got Mike Leach and a Thanksgiving wish to you coming up in about 15 minutes from now. Next hour, we'll also talk about, will Alabama be left out of the college football playoff? That would be weird. When is Big Ben going to sit one out? And in the final hour of the show, Anthony Munoz, one of the greatest Hall of Fame offensive lineman ever, is going to drop on by. We'll also talk to Danny Cannell, CBS Sports college football analyst, about the playoff ranking. So a ton to get to this morning on the show. And let me just say, because we are holiday driven around here, I highly encourage you to watch the web feed, the simulcast at watchda.com, because there's all types of Thanksgiving graphics and goodies and turkeys that you'll want to check out and get you in the mood. So that's watchda.com in sparkling Technicolor on your phone, on your laptop, on your tablet, or on your smart TV, watchda.com. Let's begin with the most recent college football rankings, where last night, the rankings before the final regular season games, and then, of course, we've got conference championship games, gave us Alabama staying at 1, Oklahoma staying at 4, Miami and Clemson swapping spots. Clemson drops to 3. Miami moves up to 2. And Wisconsin, once again, at number 5 on the outside of the party, looking in. Badger fans are sick of this. They're undefeated. They're in a power conference. And they're still not in the top 4. Why? Why? Are they going to get left out unfairly? Do they need help to get in, even if they run the table and go 13-0 in a power conference like the Big Ten? Will Wisconsin get screwed? Is what Badger fans want to know this morning. It's where we begin. It's your cold open.
Extremely proud of our team and the way that they played today and battled and fought. A really good Michigan team, and I feel like it took everyone, and certainly a good team win.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
Badgers head coach Paul Chryst after the win over number 24 Michigan 24-10 last Saturday. Wisconsin fans, I'm here to alleviate your fears. I'm here to be the bearer of good news this Thanksgiving season. Here's why. You got 2 breaks. You've already had 2 breaks, and that's really all you'll need. The first break was Notre Dame getting handed that second loss. Had they not gotten pounded by Miami and only had the 1 loss to Georgia, Notre Dame would be a 1-loss team that could trip you up. But instead, Notre Dame got pounded by the Irish, and thus, they're out. Take them out. The other thing that helps you is the Pac-12 has faltered, and they're not going to get a team in. Once USC and Washington both had 2 losses, you could take the Pac-12 out. So because of that, you take out 1 of the power conferences and Notre Dame. That's great news for Wisconsin, because then that means you know you're going to get the SEC champion in there. You know you're going to get the ACC champion in there. And assuming Oklahoma wins the Big 12 championship and is a 1-loss team, you assume the Big 12 champ gets in there. Then that leaves the Big 10. Well, if Wisconsin loses to Ohio State, they don't have an argument anyway. So they have to take care of their business, but then they control their path to a playoff. The other part of that is, because Miami is 2 and Clemson is 3, the thinking of, could a close loss in the ACC title game by Miami mean that Clemson and the Hurricanes get in? My answer to you, Wisconsin, is no. That opens up the door for you. No, I don't believe it. We talked about this with Barrett Salee, college football analyst, yesterday, CBS Sports. The entire construct of the college football playoff is to, yes, ostensibly to crown the right champion. It's also, though, to garner ratings. It's a television product. Think about how they changed the schedule from New Year's Eve because the television ratings weren't good. If the college football playoff existed in its own vacuum, it wouldn't matter when it was played. Instead, they are openly admitting we are here to garner as much attention as possible. This is why we have a weekly show about the rankings. This is why we are trying to schedule the playoff games at times we can get the most attention. They were trying to change the culture of America by planning them on New Year's Eve. Hey, this is what you will do as you watch the ball drop. Because of that, if you realize and you understand that's the umbrella under which we are operating with this, they don't want 2 teams from the same conference. They don't want 2 teams from the same conference, especially if those 2 teams are geographically very similar. Clemson, South Carolina, Miami, Florida. Yeah, those are two different towns, two different lifestyles, two different climates, two different everything. But it's the same conference, and it's too similar for that playoff committee. They are going to take the SEC champion, and I don't think it's going to be a two SEC champ or two SEC bid. You're not going to get Bama and Auburn or Bama and Georgia or Auburn and Georgia. You take one out of the SEC. You take one out of the ACC. You take one out of the Big 12, assuming it's Oklahoma. Because if Oklahoma gets toppled, then forget that. And then one out of the Big 10. And if Wisconsin wins the Big 10, they would be in. I am here to help your holiday Wisconsin fans. And do they deserve it? Hell yeah, they deserve it. Hell yeah. I realize their schedule hasn't been good all season long. It's not necessarily their fault that their side of the Big 10's not good. But look, if at the end of the day your resume includes three top 25 wins, Iowa, Michigan, and Ohio State, you have gone undefeated, gone perfect, even if your non-conference schedule's not very good, and you won 13 games and didn't lose any, yeah. Out of a power conference, yes, especially the Big Ten, which is not the Big 12 this year, or even the Pac-12 that are really down, yes, I'm taking Wisconsin, and I'm saying they're worthy of going to the college football playoff. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. We've got such a good show. These are the shows I'm really excited about. These are the shows that really get my juices flowing. I love the holidays. I love working around the holidays. There's a good vibe in the air. I think I like it because there's not a lot of people around. Not a salesperson in sight. It's great. They take this entire week off. Most of management gone. Love it. We are the inmates running the asylum. I love it. We've got a little pizzazz, a little dash of holiday in the air. We are crushing Dunkin' Donuts munchkins around here.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
Mraz, what's the tally thus far for you and your munchkin eats?
I've had 8 all chocolate. And I had an egg sandwich. I started the day with high hopes of oatmeal, but the hot water's out. So I turned a 70-calorie breakfast into a 1,000-calorie breakfast.
8 munchkins already down the hopper.
Yeah. You know what it is? I need to take a nap after work to come back in, so I need stuff to put me down like a tranquilizer.
Bilotti, how about your tally?
My tally is 4
okay.
munchkins.
You're only halfway to Mraz.
And I need an egg sandwich as well.
Yeah. We're going to have the Thanksgiving draft coming up here next hour. We'll describe more about that as we make our way through the morning. However, next, Mike Leach, everybody's favorite pirate, everybody's favorite academic on Geronimo and Native American culture from the late 1800s. Everybody's favorite Pac-12 coach has a Thanksgiving message for you. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
The way sports talk was meant to be, on an imaginary spaceship.
I'm a fat lord.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
It's time to ask the pros, where you, the listener, gets to ask a question brought to you by O'Reilly. Simply check out the link, cbssportsradio.com/askthepros, or tweet your question at CBS Sports Radio. Trust the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts help you choose the brakes that are an exact fit for your vehicle. Brands that you trust like Brake Best, Wagner, ThermoQuiet. O'Reilly Auto Parts are the brake parts you need at guaranteed low prices. O'Reilly, better parts, better prices every day. The only thing I have to say in the President Trump versus LeVar Ball duel right now is LeVar Ball has won. You might remember months ago, I talked about this. We had opportunities to have LeVar on the show in the middle of his wild maelstrom of crazy things that he was saying and antics leading up into the draft and after the draft. And I told our guys, no, I'm not engaging. Because I saw it for what it was. which was this really awful modern-day media trade-off. And the trade-off was, you say something crazy on our show so that we get attention for your crazy stuff, and then we wag our fingers and tell you how wrong you are for saying that crazy stuff. I found it artificial, inauthentic, and cheap, exploitive. And I wasn't going to engage in that. So we didn't book him. We didn't want him on. I said, not interested. Because ultimately, the only thing that LeVar Ball is trafficking in is attention. He doesn't care what he says. There doesn't have to be substance or truth behind it. It's just to grab people's attention. That is his currency. We all say we hate the Kardashians, we hate the Kardashians. Because what we believe is that the Kardashians are not authentic. They're simply in it to do anything to grab attention. So whatever that is they'll do, we don't find that genuine or authentic. Well, it's the same thing with LeVar Ball. He's only there to try to traffic in attention. He finally got the leader of our free world engaged. I mean, he didn't go to bed that night before LiAngelo Ball shoplifted in China saying, I hope you shoplift. But it happened, and now LeVar Ball wins. And he won in the sports media realm, and he continues to win because we have this idiocy in America where if you're crazy or you say crazy stuff, we pay attention because you're saying crazy stuff and then shake our fingers and wag our fingers and say, stop saying crazy stuff. You're crazy. Instead of just letting the crazy person talk in the corner of the room. I don't even know what is being said between these two men because it's total childishness. And I'm not really all that interested. But at the end of the day, LeVar Ball won. And that's disappointing. Because he didn't have to. We could have just ignored it. We cannot ignore Mike Leach. Because Mike Leach is a man that is coming to us with advice. He's coming to us with history. This is a man that actually wrote a book about Native American leader Geronimo. I saw there was a huge biography written about Geronimo, and it said by Mike Leach. And I said, there must be another Mike Leach. It's certainly not the football coach because I don't remember Nick Saban or Urban Meyer or Jim Harbaugh writing books on historical figures. I miss the Les Miles biography on Abraham Lincoln that came out and was on Oprah's book list. When did that come out again? But Mike Leach wrote an entire book, researched and everything about Geronimo. This is where this man's brain is. It's not just college football. In fact, it feels like college football is just not stimulating enough for Mike Leach's brain. And so on the eve of Thanksgiving, he is here to wish you a happy Thanksgiving. And he is here to provide and dispense life advice to a young reporter that was getting married, is getting married. He reached out to Mike Leach and said, Coach, can you give me any advice?
Well, it's too late to rescue you. The best wisdom that I can possibly give, 9 days, and it's a little late, you should have come to me sooner. You have to stay out of the way. Now, and I wish you a very happy marriage, and I'm sure you'll have one, but I'm just telling you, when it comes to marriages, the women lose their mind. Your fiance is going to lose her mind. Your mother-in-law is going to lose her mind. Your mom is going to lose her mind. Several of your sisters and female relatives are going to lose their mind. And that they're going to barrage you with constant questions. What should we wear? And then, which of course my answer was, I don't care. And then what color should the invitations be? I don't care. What should we have for dessert? I don't care. Should we seat this way or that way? I don't care. But see, I don't care is not satisfactory at all. And you're going to get caught in a catch-22, and I'm certain that you already have. And that catch-22 is, well, I want you to be a part of this too. So what color invitations? All right, the blue ones. Well, I kind of like the tan ones. Okay, the tan ones then. Oh, you're just saying that because you want this over with. You're not even thinking about it, which is, of course, true. What do you want for dessert? I was thinking of strawberry shortcake. Yeah, strawberry shortcake would be good. Well, what about the blueberry pie? Well, I like the blueberry pie. We could have the blueberry pie. Well, I thought you said you wanted the strawberry shortcake. And it's just going to go back and forth, and they're going to play keep away from you until after you're married. So what you need to do is you need to work late hours. You and there's no answer you can give that is going to be satisfactory or correct. And if you successfully please a few of them, the others will still be, oh, well, I just don't feel like he's that interested. Yeah, okay, so you need to work late. Go in the back room and read a lot of books. Take the groomsmen out so you make sure that they march in just right and they know exactly, you know, these swell outfits that you picked out or whatever, however you're doing it. And in the end, you'll wish you eloped. Excuses that they'll buy to be as far out of harm's way as you possibly can. But take comfort in knowing that once the ceremony's over, you know, life will get progressively better from there, even though there's some adjustment.
Mike Leach with his advice on how to handle the wedding. I can tell you this already. My girlfriend and I have been together for 3 years, and so obviously we are coming to that. I've been trying to shed the oncoming blitz for months now, maybe even years now. I've run the fullback over there. I've chip blocked. I've double teamed. The pass rush is coming, and at this point in time, I can no longer stand in the pocket. So I'm going down as well. And I was talking to my mom about
this. So romantic.
I was talking to my mom about this, and I said, yeah, I mean, I've got some ideas for the wedding. And she goes, no, you don't. You have no say. She has all the say. And I was like, oh, that's right. Okay, I'm just going to stay out of this. And I feel like Mike Leach is telling me the same exact thing. So I appreciate that. Just go into the back and read a lot of books. And work really late. And that sounds like the safest way to get through wedding planning. Mraz, had you known what Mike Leach's advice was before you got married, do you think you would have been had a happier lead up to the marriage?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Although I did try the late hours for a while. I got blessed with the overnights and the nights here. The last 6 months, it has been a bear to get home at 5 o'clock. You didn't make dinner? You got home before me. Why didn't you make dinner? I didn't know what you wanted for dinner. Why do I always have to pick what I want for dinner? Can somebody just decide what the heck they want to eat around here?
Andrew Bogish, did you also get caught in the Mike Leach web there, the spider web, where she said, well, what color should the invitations be? And you said tan. And she goes, oh, you're just saying that?
Well, let me say this. My wife and assorted family were wonderful in the run-up to our wedding.
I'm sure they
fantastic.
Were.
Fantastic. Yeah. But no, I checked out right away. I said, the things I care about are food, the DJ, and my suit. Other than that, you do whatever you want.
Yeah.
The shape of the table, napkin colors, uh-huh. Those things are not going to affect me.
Yeah. No, I feel the same exact way. Bilotti, feel the same way here?
Oh, yeah. You have that engagement, enjoyment, and then it becomes the 46 defense.
There's Mike Singletary. There's Richard Dent. There's Gary Fencik. Here comes Wilbur Marshall. Uh-oh, Dan Hampton up the middle. Oh, and I'm getting landed on by the fridge. That's wedding planning in a nutshell, the 46 defense. When we come back here on the show in a little sound check, your best audio of the day, including the Beacon of Light saying there's still a run in the Giants, because of course he does. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Are the glitch in the simulation.
Hi, DA.
Hey, DA.
Jamming hard on it, DA. I don't know if you'll go bonkers or crazy, DA.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
It's a Thanksgiving Eve here on the dock. Glad you're with us. Coming up in the final hour of the show, we've got Anthony Munoz, one of the great offensive linemen ever. We'll also talk college football with Danny Cannell in that third hour of the show. Next hour, we've got our second annual Thanksgiving draft. Myself, the Body Bilotti, Andrew Bogish, and Mraz will try to draft the best Thanksgiving dinner possible. Put your Thanksgiving GM skills to the test with us 1 hour from now. And I encourage you to watch the draft because we've got graphics and it'll be easier to follow if you can. You can watch it on our phone or your phone or our phone. It's Thanksgiving. We should share. Just go to watchda.com. Next hour, we've also got to talk about the Iron Bowl because this is an Iron Bowl with some of the biggest stakes ever in this storied rivalry. And you've got to believe that Auburn has a chance to pull the upset. I'm not sure that Alabama should necessarily be favored in this if you looked at strengths versus weaknesses and home field advantage being at Jordan-Hare Stadium on the Plains. But we'll talk more about that in depth coming up here at the top of the hour. Also next hour, Ben Roethlisberger continuing to talk about life after football and if he's cooked yet. So we'll all get to that next hour on the show at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, Twitter DA on CBS. Let's bring you your best audio of the day.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
It'd be great if Ben McAdoo stopped trying to convince us that there's any run left in the Giants. You know what happens when Bill Belichick is 11-2? He doesn't talk about going 14-2. He talks about going 12-2. You know what happens when you're 10-0? You don't talk about going 16-0. You talk about getting the next win. All coaches should be talking about is the next one, the next one, the next one. And instead, the Giants have continually looked ahead and said, well, if we win 7 of our last 9, well, we can go on a run here. If we win 6 in a row, and that has poisoned everything that has gone on in that organization because they're not taking Sunday by Sunday seriously. Instead, they keep talking about what they've accomplished, what they haven't accomplished, what they can accomplish, blah, blah, blah.
You know, around, I'm the beacon of light and I'm the beacon of hope.
So Ben McAdoo says they're ready to win 2 games in 5 days.
Anytime you have a chance to get 2 wins in 5 days, it's exciting. And, you know, we have a tough opponent. We have to go on the road, travel in a short week. We feel we're making all the right decisions from a scheduling standpoint, from a load standpoint.
From a load standpoint, yeah. What a load that season has been. What a load that coach is. Give me a break. They are going to get smashed tomorrow night. Smashed. They're in D.C. Look, I know that Washington's not a world beater, but Washington coming off a difficult cough-up choke loss in New Orleans. The Giants are coming off a whoopsie. We fell into a puddle and got a win over the Chiefs. I mean, the Giants fell ass backwards into a wheelbarrow that had a W in it. Eat that W. Taste that W. And so now they're going to go down in a short week with that offensive line and that secondary and those weapons and that running game and that quarterback and that beacon of light Bozo, and they're going to get smashed tomorrow night.
From a load standpoint?
Just such a load standpoint. Look, they might lose by 14, but it'll never feel like a football game. Short week after they're like, whoops, we found a win against the Chiefs. Whoops, we'll do it again. Look out. Hammer Washington. Justin Ellis, Raiders defensive tackle, discussing the firing of their defensive coordinator, Ken Norton Jr.
I mean, we for sure could have did some other stuff, some different things. He made some good points while he was here. And, mm-hmm. you know, we play under our talent level. Mm-hmm. And those things come with consequences.
Look at how the Raiders' season has gone. They beat the Titans opening week. Now, we thought that Tennessee was going to be a pretty good team. They went on the road and won. Then they blew out the Jets at home. That was the Marshawn Lynch's dancing with the crowd with the Jumbotron game. They're 2-0. And everyone's thinking, Raiders, one of the best teams of the AFC. They're taking that next step. They're going to be in the playoff race. They lose at Washington. They lose at Denver. They lose home to the Ravens. And they lose the Chargers on that last second field goal. They go from 2-0 to 2-4. Then they squeak out that win over the Chiefs. That basically starts the Chiefs' free fall. Then they lose to the Bills, squeak by the Dolphins, get pounded by the Patriots. They have lost six of their last eight games, and 2-0 is now 4-6, and the season's basically over. I would love to see the Raiders go on a run here. They can do it because they have a couple of non-playoff teams, the Broncos, the Giants up, the Cowboys in a couple of weeks. The Chiefs right now are vulnerable, and they finish up with at the Chargers. I'd love to see them run 10-6, but they're not doing that. It's a shame. It's a sin. It's unfortunate, but the Raiders season is over because they have not been able to put it together. So many of those players have regressed, and maybe some of this is coaching as well. But they did not handle their success or expectations well at all this season. And finally, our friend Mike Francesa is wrapping up a Hall of Fame tenure on WFAN in New York. His final day is going to be on December the 15th. And that will wrap up nearly 30 years on the air of being number one in New York. And he was asked about the Yankees' managerial decision.
I got a serious question for you. Ready?
Yeah.
Mike, do you think you can manage the Yankees? Don't hang up.
Do I think I can manage the Yankees? Sure, but yeah, I'm not going to get a chance to manage the Yankees. Yeah, I would love to try, but they wouldn't let me.
Why don't you give it a shot? Hey,
they're not going to, because
it's
listen.
To be president, listen, you could be manager of the Yankees.
I definitely could, but the point is they're not going to hire me to do that because they're going to hire someone who either spent 20 years playing the game or 15 years playing the game, or spend that time as a coach and a manager. And I understand that because just like they're not going to give someone a radio, my radio show, who doesn't have any experience, at least behind a microphone, they're not going to give someone the Joe's job who hasn't been connected to the sport on the major league level, which it makes plenty of sense. Absolutely. Boy, I'd like to try that. Yeah, that'd be fun. I would love to try that. I would love it. But it's not going to happen. But I would love doing it, yeah.
Yeah, I think we all would love to be the manager of the Yankees. That's awesome. I mean, look, when you've had that career, you know, I guess you feel like you could do just about anything and succeed. Well, at this point, Mraz, I think the Yankees couldn't do worse than hiring Mike because they don't have anybody else that they're going to hire at this point.
Here's a hot take. It would never happen. I think Mike would be a pretty good manager of the Yankees.
Is that right?
And I'd be completely serious. And me and In the Body discussed this before. I was shocked because I was almost afraid to admit it, and he agreed with me. I think Mike obviously deals with the wealthy well. He knows baseball. He could sit there. I think he could manage a game, and I think he could handle egos. I think he could handle a clubhouse.
How much research, preparation, stat analysis, metric analysis?
Well, the stat and metric analysis would scare me off, but I like an old school manager. I think Mike has some Connie Mack in him.
You like an old school manager where all of baseball has basically pushed everybody over the age of 55 out the door. They're like, Terry Collins, see ya. Dusty Baker, see ya. Everybody old, see ya. You got to get out of here. We need all young blood to go over metrics.
Right. Mike's probably the last radio host in America not using Twitter, so that would scare me a little. But I'm talking about, you know, the basics of sitting down in the dugout managing that game. I think Mike's going to make the right calls to the bullpen. He might be a little slow getting that lineup card behind home plate. Not going to look great in the uniform as well. but I think he could put together a lineup and make the right in-game decisions.
You guys are so insane. You're so insane.
I know it sounds crazy. I know, but I'm serious. I think he could do it.
It sounds insane because what you're doing is you're not taking into account any of the work that goes into that job. It's just assuming that a personality can walk in and do it.
It's not like the NFL where he's got to put together a playbook, or the NBA or NHL where they're running, you know, the power play or you know, some kind of pick and roll. This is baseball. You put out a lineup card, you decide if you want to hit and run, and you make some bullpen decisions.
So you don't factor in, like, anything that A.J. Hinch did in the playoffs? Like, nothing with...
Well, you got to push the right buttons, but okay. as far as the metric stuff, yes, I wouldn't trust Mike with the metric stuff, but I think we could get past that. I think that stuff's overrated in baseball.
So defensive shifting, you're not worried about. You don't think that A.J. Hinch has any value there in terms of...
Well, I think Mike could make that decision on shifting. I do.
Okay. Okay.
I don't think he would, because he's an old school kind of guy.
Uh-huh. I mean, this is just hysterical. This is like just assuming anybody can walk into a dugout and manage. That you're just totally throwing out all of the preparation.
He's played baseball. He had a nice high school career.
So. And plus the metric stuff, a lot of that will be game planning by the GM and the manager.
Tim Tebow walked into the minor leagues and hit home runs all over the place. Oh. Baseball's a little different. Mike could sit in that dugout, not look great in uniform, and get the Yankees to the playoffs.
Better than Chris Woodward.
I mean, you're not asking him to manage the A's here with no talent. You know, you put Aaron Judge second, you put Sanchez third, and away we go.
I shouldn't be surprised at this take at all, because you wanted Joe Girardi fired, even though he got the team to the ALCS in game number 7. But it's just, this is...
Mike Francesa makes that challenge in game 2 in the ALDS.
Okay. All right. I'm done with this conversation. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter DA on CBS. This is absolutely the most modern idiocy that happens in sports talk. It's assuming anybody can do anything. Like, John Gruden could totally be the coach right now of the Tennessee Volunteers, ignoring any feel or touch that you would have with the game from a sideline perspective, from a coaching decision, from a preparation, from a recruiting. Like, it's as though these guys that are grinding every day, developing a skill set, it doesn't really matter because anybody could walk in and do it. Like, these managers that are taking over baseball teams, anybody could do it as long as they've watched some baseball. I mean, it's just like, that's the idiocy that goes along with everything in sports today. I mean, he could do it. She could do it. Anybody could do it. Totally ignoring, like, every day you develop a little bit more of a skill set. Every day. Like, today, Mraz, you're better suited to host this Overnight with Amy show tomorrow morning than you were when you first walked in the door 7 years ago as an intern.
Oh, 1,000%. I've learned so much in the industry. But who's to say Mike wouldn't be a better manager in 2019 after managing in 2018?
But by this rationale, the day that you walked in those doors as an intern, you would have felt like, yeah, I could do that. I could host because I've watched football before.
No, I think Mike knows how to handle the New York media. That's a big part of this Yankee manager job.
I can't believe I'm getting sucked into this. I can't. This is like...
I'm surprised at this take on myself, but me and Pete really discussed and thought about it. He could do it. Just stop and think about it in a break.
Stop. You're making my mind hurt. This is like when people say Duke could beat the Brooklyn Nets or the Philadelphia 76ers. It involves no logic whatsoever. None. Oh, yeah, the best, like Kentucky could totally beat Brooklyn. No. Stop it. Oh, you know, Alabama could beat the Lions. No. Stop it. I hate that conversation. I hate this conversation.
Wait till 4:20 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Next hour, we will be holding the second annual Thanksgiving draft. We are taking all of the items that everybody loves from Thanksgiving and a few wild cards, and we are going to hold a draft. Who can assemble the best holiday spread? Now, there is a wild card to this. Last year, we did just foods, and we had 4 rounds, and there were 16 items on the board. And so somebody was going to get left with fruitcake because you had to take them. That was Mr. Irrelevant. This year, we have more foods than draft slots. So there will be undrafted free agents. And we've got household items involved as well. Not just food, a TV will be a draftable commodity. A couch will be a draftable commodity. These are important decisions to make as you prepare your depth chart and draft board, boys and girls. So next hour, I encourage you to watch the Thanksgiving draft. It'll happen 45 minutes from now. So about 40 minutes past next hour, we'll do the second annual DA Show Thanksgiving Draft. Watch along with us at watchda.com. When we return, could Alabama, the modern-day dynasty and the number one team of the country, be left out of the college football playoff? That's next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.